You are officially invited into the 8th episode of Not a Wine Drinker. Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming back. I am your host, Amy. And this week, we've got a fun one for you. This week, we are talking about the 2012 Amy Heckerling movie, Vamps. As I had mentioned in the previous episode, this brings back Amy Heckerling with Alicia Silverstone, the director-actor duo in Clueless. And there's also another actor that had been in Clueless that is in this, which I will get to later. But the other main actor in the movie is Kristen Ritter. So Kristen and Alicia play two vampires. Alicia's character is named Goody, and Kristen's character is named Stacy. And it starts off being very light, like they're just trying to be like early 20-somethings, living the single life in a big city. They're in New York City, and they're going out and they're dating, and they're taking classes, and they're working. Except for one little thing, they happen to be vampires. Which is, turns out, it's not such a little thing. So in the beginning, there's this whole, there's a lot of exposition to kind of bring you up to speed with how everything works in this world with vampires. So there are these stem vampires who are the vampires who turn humans into other vampires. And you get to find out who that stem vampire is later on in the movie. Goody is a little bit older than Stacy, but she doesn't tell her that. They're living the life. They go out to the clubs and you meet some other characters as well. There's, of course, a Renfield character. Nice throwback to Dracula. And he acts like Renfield as well. He's a human who wants to be turned into a vampire. And so he hangs out with all these vampires. There's another vampire named Vadim, who's sort of a friend who is creepy. He wants to hook up with like everyone, basically. But he's sort of a good guy at heart still. And then the two women get called by their stem vampire. They have a psychic link. They go to their stem vampire's apartment, and it turns out that the vampire is played by none other than Sigourney Weaver. My jaw dropped when I saw that it was her, and she does an amazing job as this just completely unhinged vampire. She looks like she had so much fun with this role. She just went for it. It was great. So she is the antagonist of the movie. She's the only one really who still drinks human blood. Everyone else avoids human blood. Goody and Stacy drink rat's blood, which I'm still not happy about that they're killing rats. And then, you have the two leads have romantic storylines. So Goody, back in the 60s, had been dating this guy who was very into activism, but he was becoming more well-known, so she stopped dating him. And then she randomly bumps into him nowadays, and he's an older man, he's married, and his wife is dying of cancer. And that person's name is Danny, and his last name is actually Horowitz, which was Alicia's character's last name, Cher Horowitz, in Clueless. So that was a little throwback. And he is played by the late, great Richard Lewis. Another really big name that I did not expect to see in this movie. And then Stacy's character meets a guy in one of her classes. He asks her out and they start to date. But lo and behold, he is actually from a line of Van Helsing's. So another Dracula connection. So the boyfriend, whose name is Joey, he's played by Dan Stevens, who later became famous from Downton Abbey, but this was before that, so he wasn't as well known. And then his father, Dr. Van Helsing, not the same one who kills Dracula in the novel, but a descendant of the original Van Helsing, he is played by another Clueless alum, and that is Wallace Shawn, who is also an amazing actor. Most people know him as Vizzini from Princess Bride. He's also very well known in acting circles. He's written a bunch of plays that he's also performed in, and he's just overall a very well-respected stage actor. And he also just looks like he had just so much fun with this role. Like, he just went for it, and it works really well. He's so good. Dr. Van Helsing is also helped by this woman named Rita, who is played by Meredith Scott Lynn, who looked so familiar. And then when I looked her up afterwards, I realized why. It's because she's the actor who played Enid in Legally Blonde, which is one of my absolute favorite comfort movies of all time. So there's a lot of conflict there with the father, Dr. Van Helsing, still being very much a vampire hunter. And the son, Joey, who is at first unknowingly dating a vampire, just isn't quite as much into the whole going after vampires. And then when he finds out that Stacy actually is a vampire, it's a weird scene because he kind of gets over it like really quickly. He's just like, oh, no, okay, you're still cute. It's like, yeah, okay, I guess that wasn't a big deal. And there's another plot line where Goody and Stacy go to sort of like an AA meeting, but it's for vampires who don't drink human blood. And there's all these other vampires there, including one who is named Vlad Tepish, who is more commonly known as Vlad the Impaler, who is usually thought of as a main inspiration for Dracula. And there's some debate amongst scholars about how much Bram Stoker really knew about Vlad the Impaler. Some say he just saw Vlad Dragul, was another name for him, and just thought it was a cool name and just used the Dragul or Dracula, but didn't really know anything else much about him. But others say, like, there's just way too many parallels. I'll leave that to the scholars. But most people connect Vlad the Impaler as being very connected to Dracula or a vampire or the inspiration for our modern day vampire or modern day Dracula. So we've got Vlad Tepish in the movie, and he's also played by an amazing actor, Malcolm McDowell. And he sort of is a mentor for Stacy and Goody. There's actually this really great scene where Stacy goes to Joey's house because she was invited by the parents to come to dinner. And they're all having a nice dinner. And Stacy looks up and sees a picture of Vlad Tepish on the wall. And so they start talking about him. And Dr. Van Helsing only sees him as cruel and vicious and just evil. And Stacy says, well, no, he is considered a hero in Romania, and he stopped the Ottoman Empire from taking over. So I really like this scene because so many times our stories really like to categorize characters as black and white. You know, there's good and evil, there's good characters and bad characters. But in real life, it's a lot messier than that. And Vlad the Impaler is a good example of that. That, yes, he was cruel, but historians say that a lot of his cruelty was exaggerated, and he actually used those rumors to strengthen his position, and perhaps that stopped a lot more cruelty from actually happening. And also that he's sometimes considered a very just ruler who, yeah, had to be brutal, but really that helped to stop a lot more killings that would have happened. So it's not black and white. I really like that they touched upon that, and is one of the reasons that I think this movie is so brilliant. But anyway, getting back to the AA meetings that Goody and Stacy are in, there's a whole bunch of other vampires as well who are in this group, and they start being targeted by different governmental groups trying to get them to come to offices during the daytime, which they cannot do because in this movie, vampires can't be in the sun. So they come up with a solution that there's going to be a solar eclipse coming up, which is funny because in real life, there's actually a solar eclipse coming up in a couple days. Actually, it will have passed by the time I put this up. So there was a solar eclipse that just happened. And so they decide that they can all do the things they need to do during the day during the solar eclipse because the sun will be blocked. So they'll be safe. But in the movie, the solar eclipse happens for like 2 to 3 hours, which that doesn't happen in real time. A full solar eclipse happens for maybe 2 to 3 minutes, which you should all know because of this past solar eclipse that just happened. So a little bit of artistic license taken there. So the resolution of the two romantic plot lines for Goody, she decides to help Danny's wife by getting one of the other vampires to turn her into a vampire so that she can live. So she gets the help of Vadim. On a side note, he has an accent, and a lot of people ask, oh, are you Soviet? And he's like, no, I'm Ukrainian, which in light of what's going on today is kind of interesting that even back then there was still a little bit of that antagonism between them. So Vadim turns Danny's wife, and in a very weird, overtly sexual scene of them licking each other's blood with David Bowie playing in the background, which was just, that was a weird scene. It turns out that his wife is like this really sexy Mary Lou Henner. And then for Stacy, you know, there's a lot of conflict with Joey and his dad, and it's actually Goody who helps to resolve the issue by coming to Dr. Van Helsing and explaining the situation that comes to a head, which is the fact that Stacy had gotten pregnant, but because vampires cannot have babies, the pregnancy will be unviable unless she is turned back into a human. And the only way to do that is to kill the vampire that turned you into a human, your stem vampire. Thus, hey, there's a reason to get rid of the crazy, unhinged Sigourney Weaver. Whose name, by the way, is not Sigourney Weaver. It's Cicerus. I just keep calling her Sigourney Weaver. But her name is Cicerus. So Goody employs Dr. Van Helsing to help kill the stem vampire, which they eventually do in this great battle scene, including Cicerus's head on a CGI skeleton body, which you just gotta watch. And the conclusion of the movie is that once you're stem vampire is killed and you revert back to a human, you also revert back to the age you should be. Since Stacy was only turned, I think like 2 decades ago, there's like tiny, tiny, little tiny changes that happen to her body that are like, oh, she's a 40-year-old woman now because she has one wrinkle on her face and her ass gets slightly flatter. But Goody, who is much, much older, I think she's over 130 or something, she rapidly ages and then she turns into dust, which she knew was going to happen. So it's very bittersweet. So I really liked that the movie is very light at first, but it does have a lot of heart in it as well. So there really wasn't a lot about the making of this movie, so I'm going to focus a little more just about like some little trivia and some fun facts that I noticed throughout the movie. I did know that with casting for Cicerus, that eventually went to Sigourney Weaver, the first actor who was attached to that role was actually Michelle Pfeiffer, but then she had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts. And Sigourney Weaver said that when she read the role, she actually found Cicerus to be a little boring, and she asked Amy if she could have her being enjoying herself more, which Amy said, you know, totally go for it, which good on Amy for allowing Sigourney to play with her role that way. And Sigourney said that she just loves playing delicious evil parts, which I thought was a great quote. And Kristen Ritter, who played Stacy, she said that the costumer, who was also from Clueless, Mona May, that she found awesome things. And yeah, the costuming is great in this movie. But there's this really cool black dress that Stacy is wearing at one point. It's got these like metal bars go across the front. And that dress was actually Amy Heckerling's dress that she let Kristen Ritter borrow. So there are a couple of cool Nosferatu references in the movie, besides the fact that they actually do play some clips of Nosferatu, as well as the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, either people watching it on TV or it's on the TV in the background at the club or something. But at one point, Sigourney Weaver, I keep saying her name, but at one point, Cicerus at her apartment goes to answer the door, and she goes with her arms out in front of her with her hands kind of claw-like, and they show the shadow of it first, which is straight from Nosferatu. And the other one is that Vadim, his fangs come from his two front teeth, which I had said when I was talking about Nosferatu that I never see that happen with any other movie. So this is the only other movie that I've ever seen them do that to, and it's of course a direct reference to the original Nosferatu. There's a reference to another movie near the very end when Stacy and Joey are walking through kind of a crowded street and a woman in a red dress walks by and Joey immediately looks at her, which is a very obvious reference to The Matrix. Now, going back to that scene where Cicerus is in her apartment opening the door, another fun bit of trivia. The reason she's opening the door is because she had asked to get a pizza, not because she wanted a pizza, but because she wanted a pizza man to drink the blood from. And the pizza delivery man is played by Taylor Negron, who is reprising his role as the pizza guy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which was also directed by Amy Heckerling. So that was very deliberate. And it was, you know, the true reason why there's the whole she wanted a delivery pizza man. But I thought that was very clever that she put that in there. Now, there's another scene where Goody and Danny are in a record store and someone comes in to hold up the record store, and there's an old man who starts to have a heart attack. And Goody runs over and stops the heart attack by biting into the man's chest. And what she says is that she was putting in some anticoagulant to help stop the clot. In the scene, the woman was saying that the man was having a heart attack, when Alicia is explaining it, she says that it was to stop a stroke. So two different situations. So I'm not sure exactly what was supposed to happen, whether it was supposed to be a heart attack or a stroke, and then they just rewrote something for the later scene, or I don't know. But it turned from a heart attack into a stroke. But either way, her blood is supposed to be anticoagulant because vampire bats have an anticoagulant in their saliva. And that is how they're able to lap up blood from an animal without the animal's clotting, stopping the blood from flowing. And she says that a vampire bat is a rodent, which, hello, vampire bats are in the order Chiroptera, whereas rodents are in the order Rodentia. Like, as if. Ah. And speaking of Goody, when the character was born, Goody actually was not a name. It was still an honorific. It was short for good wife and was used as an address to married women. So her name shouldn't be Goody, even though nowadays I think Goody has become a name. But back then, that would not have been her name. So a little historical inaccuracy there. So there's a lot of lore going on. They used a lot of vampire tropes. You've got vampires can't be in the daylight. They have to drink blood, though it doesn't have to be human blood. They can survive on animal blood as well. They do not get old. They stay the age that they were when they were bitten. They need soil from their home to be put in their coffins. They do not have a reflection. There's actually a really cool scene in a club where Goody goes to another woman to stop her from going home with Vadim. And they're having a conversation in front of a mirror, and the woman has a reflection and Goody does not. But the way that they did it, it's hard to tell because they did a really good job. But it's not a mirror that they're in front of. It's just a piece of glass. And they have another woman who looks exactly like the woman that she's talking to, mirroring her actions. If you watch it really closely, they're off just by like a little bit, but they did a really, really good job. Let's see, what else? Oh, vampires can use hypnosis in this. And many of the vampires have different types of fangs. Like I said before, Vadim had the front fangs, like Nosferatu. Most of the other vampires have the more normalized incisor fangs. But then Cicerus has like an entire row, actually multiple rows, that all become fangs. So that was interesting to see the different types of fangs that all the vampires have. They also have a few things that don't work. So garlic, they make it seem at first that vampires don't like garlic, but it turns out that Stacy herself just doesn't like garlic at all. Also, crosses don't work. They also have another kind of elaborate ritual that in order to kill a vampire, where you have to take off the head, put the head in the coffin, leave the head in the coffin long enough for the rest of the body to die. And really oddly, even though when a stem vampire is killed and a vampire is then reverted back to a human, Stacy has a daughter and the daughter has somehow retained some vampire qualities because she at one point shows her fangs. And I'm so sorry, there's an American Robin going off in the background there. So that was kind of interesting that that somehow got passed down. So yeah, in conclusion, I, as you can tell, I really liked this movie. I thought it was super, super cute, really fun.
And it also has some pretty interesting themes throughout. I talked a little bit before about looking at people not as black and white. It also looks at aging, and it also looks at the growing role of technology in our lives, which seems even more relevant than when this movie came out.
I don't know why it just, I'd never even heard of it. It's not like it did bad, and I heard that it did bad, so I didn't want to go see it. It's just that I didn't even know that this movie had existed beforehand. Did you know about this movie? Had you ever heard of it before? Had you seen it before? Did you like it? Let me know. Now, this is normally the time where I would tell you what next week's movie would be, but I have some, well, good and bad news. Good news is I've got a new job and I'm moving. Bad news is that means that I'm not going to have any time to continue this podcast. So I'm going to have to put this podcast on a hiatus, and I'm not sure if that's going to be temporary or if it's going to be permanent. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you all. Fangs for the memories. Really, really, thank you so much for listening. I really had so much fun making these. And I have to give a special thank you shout out to Lauren.
Lauren, thank you so much for the coffees. I am super caffeinated now, which may or may not be a good thing. But really, I so appreciate the support. So thank you so, so much. And I hope you found these entertaining and maybe learned a thing or two. Maybe you found a movie you didn't know about beforehand, or just heard a new perspective, or enjoyed hearing me ramble on. Anyways, take care, and until next time, remember, I'm not much of a wine drinker. Okay, bye.